I was a single dad trying to co-parent a 13-year-old daughter. She was putting some distance, though, between her and me, and I didn't get it. When it comes to insight, I am a veritable Pez dispenser of parenting wisdom. My head flops back and out pops sage advice. There needed to be a come-to-Jesus moment, and since I owned the house, I was pretty certain I knew who needed to come to Jesus.
This is Keith Wooden, and welcome to Story Mosaics. Hey, I have to tell you some new happenings already as we're continued just to cultivate some of the things we're doing with Story Mosaics. Number one is some of you are now capturing this on YouTube and watching this on YouTube, and we're so glad you're here and watching it there. And you can reach that and you can search it just as Story Mosaics on YouTube, and it'll pop up as number one when you look for it. And that's just another way we can utilize some of the technology that we have to bring you further into the stories that we're telling. One of the other advantages of being on a podcast is I get to choose the topics, okay? And sometimes we're going to go into some series where there'll be three or four on the same topic. Sometimes we'll just bounce around and do different things. And tonight is one of those bounce around moments, okay? So because we're going to just take an opportunity to dive into a subject that I am absolutely passionate about, and that is parenting. Yeah, I love parenting. Now, I have gray hair now, and so now it's about my grandparenting. But I'm going to tell you a story from way back because I believe that it's really beneficial for you in some of the things you're doing in parenting. And some of you will share it with a close friend of yours. Maybe some of you share it with your kids and say, listen up, this is important. And this one comes right out of the ripped from the pages of my life. And when I was a single parent, I mentioned to you that I love the concept of parenting because I look at parenting kind of like a chess game, okay? And as parents, we're making sure that we're moving appropriately, not to defeat our kids, but actually to cultivate them in this parenting mode. And so I want to be at least two moves ahead of them, sometimes a few more. And my kids challenged that. They challenged it a lot. And back when I was a single dad, I had a lot of moments just to look at how can I be a better parent for my kids. And there's a lot of single dads out there. And I hope none of you are Disneyland dads or those that just focus on entertaining your kids when you're with them. I hope you're paying attention to the very intricacies of how to parent well. And this, again, was one of the stories I published. And the thing is, I want to tell you that when we come into the studio, it's never quite the same as it is on paper. And this was in a magazine that I published this. And yet, as I was working through it and getting it ready for a podcast, it's quite a bit different than what it was there on paper. But I have to tell you that this was one of those conversations that I had with my daughter. I've always had a close relationship with my daughter. In fact, a few moments ago, I checked my phone and she had called me just before I entered the studio. But I needed, when I was a dad and we were younger, I needed her to talk with me. I needed to know what was happening in her life. And one of the things she told me right off is, yeah, but you're a man. And worse yet, you're my dad. And I can't talk to you, Dad. And I said, I understand that I am a man and I understand that I am your dad, but we have to find a way to talk. And I have a very wise daughter. And so she decided to take some time and actually think about the subject. And can I share with you three things she told me? And seriously, she spent the time and even wrote them down for me so I wouldn't forget it. Maybe she just understood what kind of man I was. I don't know. First thing she told me was this. Here's quote, Dad, if I ever start to tell you anything, don't ask any questions. Just listen. Does she know how difficult that is when you're listening to someone tell something important in their lives? But I also knew something. Intuitively, at 13 years old, she knew a counseling technique that had taken many counselors, especially pastoral counselors, a long time to master. And that was simply this: be an active listener. See, there's all kinds of listeners that we can have. We can be an autobiographical listener. In fact, this is the one that I see more people practice. That is, somebody starts to tell you their story, that what's going on in their life. Maybe they're telling you something that's really close to their heart, and you say, "Oh yeah, I had an experience just like that." Yes, I remember when my cousin's Aunt Ruthie had a sore toe, and then they start going off on this sore toe stuff, and they're not even listening to you. They're telling their story rather than listening to your story. That's called autobiographical listening. Okay, I'm gonna challenge you on something here. I want you to notice how often you listen autobiographically. The other one comes in a short second to that is we listen to respond rather than listen to receive. Listening to respond rather than listening to receive. And those are crazy moments as well, because as we're listening to someone, we're not even really listening to the words they're saying. We're thinking about what we're going to say to them when they stop talking. Both of those are really handicaps, especially when you're talking to a 13-year-old daughter who already has the walls built up pretty high. Listen to this. Practice this. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. It's easy becoming raptured with the melodic sounds of our own voices, isn't it? But I want to listen to her voice. I want to give her what she needs. Dr. Henry Cloud is such an amazing guy. And when he was in junior high school, he found out that when he used certain phrases, people thought he was amazing. So he started, what he would do is just a very simple procedure. What he did was he would listen to someone, and let's say they said this, "I am so angry, they ignored me." And he would respond, "So they ignored you?" "Yeah, and it made me so angry." "So being ignored made you angry. This is why I like talking to you, Henry. You're so sensitive. You understand me. You really hear me and understand everything I'm saying." He, though with the wrong motives, because he was using this mostly on girls he was dating, he got into people's lives just by rehearsing the last phrases that they used. Yeah. I didn't do quite that, but we'll tell you a little bit more about that. Second piece of advice she gave me, and I quote, "Dad, I know you think you know what I'm going through, but when I talk to you, I'm not necessarily looking for advice. So I'm kind of don't want you to try to solve my problems. I know I can ask for your advice if I need it." Man, I'm already feeling a little bit deflated because I didn't imagine that I was always giving her advice. And then I realized I am built to solve problems. That's what I do best. People give me a problem and I love to help solve it for them. I am a dispenser of sage advice. In fact, the fact is I flop back my head like a Pez dispenser and wisdom just comes out. I know that's not true either. And neither did she think it was true. In fact, what she wanted was just somebody to listen to her. And I had an inkling just to tell her that if you don't need my advice, go talk to the mirror. No, that's not what it needed either. What she needed was somebody to really listen, to engage in it, not to give advice, not to try to solve the problem. Given my history, though, I felt like I needed to respond to her. And I said, "But Whitney," and she said, "Dad." So I backed off a little bit. And then number three, here it is. "Dad, I know this isn't fair, but when you talk, it will be on my time. Don't push. Don't try to squeeze it out of me. Not especially with your crazy schedule, Dad. I don't want to be made room for. I want you to really hear me. It won't work just to try to squeeze me in. It's not fair, but she's right. I knew the reality of my schedule, and I also knew the fact that quality time is a myth." Can I repeat that really, really loud? No, I've got an engineer that won't let me talk that loud. Can I just say, quality time is a myth? You never have quality time until you have invested quantity time. We have a golden retriever around the house, and here's the thing about a golden retriever is every time I pay just a modicum of energy towards paying attention to him, he goes crazy. It doesn't matter that I haven't spent any time with him all day. That little bit of attention is all he needs. But the fact is, that is not true with our family. Can I say this? It's not true with your spouse. It's not true with your children. It's not true with your coworkers. There is no such thing as quality time until we have blocked out tons of quantity time with individuals. It's what keeps a lot of us dads from being true fathers to our kids. Fathers where they will take the time to maybe spend those few moments with us. Now, if my daughter had stopped there, ended with a poem and said, "That wraps it, Dad," I would have thought she is truly a PK, a preacher's kid. But no, she just kind of left me to think about it. And I didn't know what would come next until the pop quiz came. About 3 weeks later, we have the tradition at that point as a single parent dad, you know, as a single dad, I tried to grab those moments that I could with them. And so we made it a point to eat together. And we were sitting down there at the kitchen table and we heard all of Keaton's misdemeanors. You have to understand that Keaton was my son that got kicked out of the nursery for biting kids. Yeah, the preacher's kid got kicked out of the nursery. Okay, so when I say the misdemeanors of Keaton, yeah, there were some every day. It was still normal. You know, we were sitting there and Keaton said, "Can I be excused?" And he took off from the table. And I forget what he went to do, but it didn't matter because I was in the middle of a pop quiz and I didn't even know it. The next thing that took place was this. Whitney pushed back the dishes that were on the table to the very edge. And literally, she climbed up on the table and sat cross-legged right in front of me. She couldn't have been more than 2 feet from my face at that moment. She leaned toward me with her chin in her hands, and she began to talk. Any other day, sitting on the table is not allowed. It is anathema, to use a big word, for a small topic. We don't do it. But call it intuition, I just was quiet. Dad, and I remember that moment. Be quiet, listen. Don't give advice, no questions. As I say this, you can probably see in the camera that, yes, some tears start to come to my eyes because my daughter started to talk. And I don't mean just chat. I mean, she opened up her feelings. And I did well. I did real well. And she did well. And tears started flowing down her cheeks as she spoke. I wanted so bad to solve her problem. I knew I could solve her problem, but I didn't. I listened. For 20 minutes, I listened to her. 20 glorious minutes. And then, I'm ashamed to admit this, but I ask a question. It seriously was an innocent question. But I saw it first in her jawline. And then the muscle bulged there and her teeth clenched. And she simply said, "That's all I had to say anyway, Dad." I realized I had not passed the pop quiz. But maybe these pop quizzes don't come on a pass-fail basis. Maybe there's a way to get graded on the curve. Maybe I didn't do too bad on this occasion. I hope that was true. But I will tell you, that bedtime that night, she hugged my neck extra hard for a very long time. That's okay. I'll take a C+. I'll take a C plus on this one. I have a few more years, and I had a few more years to master listening to my daughter. You know what? The fact is, I need to practice this more in all of my life, especially with my spouse. You know, Delaine is one that is loved by everyone, everyone. Everywhere we go, someone knows Delaine. You don't believe me on this one? Let me tell you. We were standing in the airport at Heathrow in London, okay? We're standing in the airport, and she looks over and says, "I think that's my cousin." I said, your cousin is not in Heathrow. She goes, "No, I really think that's my cousin." Now, Eddie, Randy, if you're listening to this, I want you to know that I know that we didn't grow up very close as cousins, but Delaine knows her, not only her first cousins, but her second cousins and third cousins and cousins that really shouldn't even be called cousins. You know, she knows them all, and she knows them by name and picture, and she knows their whole family tree. That's Delaine. But she walked over there and she introduced herself to her cousin, and they had a great conversation. I could tell you place after place after place where people have engaged my wife because they remembered her. But there's a reason why that's true. Delaine has always been a great listener. She has her master's degree, not from a college, but just the college of listening. And it's incredible to watch her engage with people and them just listen to her. She was a massage therapist for many years, and that became one of the things she knew about. People were paying her a much lower rate for the massage because they got their counseling for free. So she did an excellent job as a massage therapist, also as a counselor. But the point is that I, as a husband, need to be a better listener. I need to listen to my adult children now. And I found out, especially with my son Keaton, how true that is, that it's hard for me not to give advice for him. But you know what? I have confidence in this. The Holy Spirit is an incredible teacher. And you know what? If I spent the energy in prayer for God's revelation in his life and in my kids' lives, whether that is Carrie or Kim or Whitney or Keaton, if I would just have confidence that the Holy Spirit, who listens so very, very, very well, would be able to convince and convict them of the changes that he needed to make in their lives. I don't need to jump all over them. I just need to be a great listener and trust the Holy Spirit on this. You know, Jesus left us example after example after example in Scripture of this truth. One of the most amazing things was when he would get together with his disciples, or when he would get together with the leaders in the land, the Pharisees and the Sadducees that were part of the religious elite, he would ask them questions. He wouldn't pose them answers. He wouldn't dump on them. 309 times he asked questions. These are the ones we have recorded in the Gospels. 309 times and he asked them questions. And I can remember one time when he took his friends from Capernaum and he walked with them about 22 miles on a hike all the way up to this city called Caesarea Philippi. It was right after his cousin, John the Baptist, had died. He was in a time of mourning, and yet he was taking them up there for a purpose. It was designed. Caesarea Philippi was one of the most debased places on earth. I can't even tell you the things that they did because they were so pornographic. There was a place there called the Gates of Hell. And it is where they would take children in and sacrifice them and throw them down into the stream. And then they would run out of that area to see if the blood flowed downstream. And that is the way they felt like their God, and I put that in quotation marks, their God had heard their prayers. And the disciples wondered, why on earth did you take us all of this way just to show us the debasement of all humanity? And he started asking him questions. He said, tell me something. Who do people say that I am? I think they were embarrassed for a moment. They kind of held back for just a second. And then he opened up and he said, they opened up and said, some people are saying you're Elijah. Some people are saying you're John the Baptist reincarnate. Some people are saying you're a prophet. And then he paused and he asked them the second question. Who do you say that I am? Yeah, there was this long pause. Because Jesus was willing to listen to his disciples and then reveal himself to them. Because that's the point. That's the point. After we listen, that people can hear us best. Hey, I want to thank you for being a part of Story Mosaics today. And I pray that in this moment, you have a chance just to reflect a little bit on some of your listening skills. Remember, I gave you a test. Just check yourself on your autobiographical listening. And then check yourself to see if you listen to understand or whether you are just listening to respond. Do you really want to receive their information? And we want you to be a part of that. Hey, there's all kinds of ways that you can be a part of Story Mosaic. One is that you can share this podcast or you can share the moments that we have that are there on our the podcast feeds, the audio tracks, or one of the ways you can help us too is to go out and subscribe, like, listen to it, rate it, because in that way we reach more people and we want to help people tell their stories better. Don't forget, main thing though, really big important thing is submit your stories and especially submit your favorite Christmas Eve story. We want to get some of you on the air with us in November so we can hear your story. Thanks for listening in to Story Mosaics today.